FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
Hello. I love to see that these buildings are being rejuvenated in Dover, and that it's great. Keep these stories coming in, because we'd love to hear from you. As usual, you can use the hashtag BBunker on the Twitter. There's a Dartford businessman who's Lee Colmer, and he's opened a new office, which is a property search company. It's called Express Legal Services in Kent. And demand for conveyancing services in the region remains high, with transactions expected to peak this summer. It's quite an old email, this you've slipped in, Paul Andrews. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the reintroduction of 100% mortgages. Have we still got 100% mortgages?
Difficult.
I can't keep up.
Difficult.
Looking for tax breaks, though.
Well, the government tried to ban them, didn't they? They tried to stop everybody doing it, but how are you supposed to buy a house without one? I've no idea.
Exactly.
If you're early stages, ridiculous.
Exactly.
But just because we don't do politics on this show, the biggest problem this country faces is our housing, as far as I'm concerned. That bleeds into so many other things. We need to build far more social houses, and we need to do something about the availability of housing.
But when we build
them... bonkers.
Let's have some infrastructure with them. So let's, build them with a local pub, a local church, or a local shop. Doctors, if you can get an appointment, would be good, yes. Mm. Lee's Kent office, this is Lee Colmer continuing, it's going to support local solicitors and conveyancers by providing property searches and professional reports required as part of the property transaction process. Try and say that after a few beers. Property transaction process. Working within 15 local council areas, which include Dartford, Bromley, Croydon, Sevenoaks, Maidstone and Folkestone. And Lee is looking forward to keeping the local property sector moving. Well done, Lee.
Had a tweet from Gophers Couriers. They go, it's a brilliant show, Paul. Thank you, Business Bunker. So thank you for that.
I wonder what they're currying at the moment.
Intune PR. We'll be replaying later. Literally had a meeting booked for 1 p.m. Terrible timing. won't hear the opening Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac, so I'm playing it now.
And technology lady on the Twitter, that's technology Totea, T-O-T-E-A, says, for anyone out there following, if you need a new washing machine, avoid Hotpoint UK. Their system for managing defects is appalling. I've never known anything like it. She copies me in, Jill Sirkin. And anyone else, please retweet and warn people. Trading standards next. So she's obviously going to make a complaint about Hotpoint and her washing machine.
Justin Dean has tweeted, want your next event to be a complete success, then our live event production services are here, and they're just a ticket. Read more by going to creativemotion.co.uk/services, and he's used the BBunker hashtag.
He's very diligent.
Good.
And Martin Reeves, without the Vandellas, he's in the loft. He says, I was a charity shop manager in Tenterton back in 2017 to 18. I got to know the locals, plus some people used to come in just for a chat, young and old. And he says some of the individuals who were struggling felt invisible. So it's great to hear this interview, David and Blair.
Fantastic. Good news.
Tracy Ferguson, Tazy 64, says such a wonderful project. They're talking about the Big Rap. That's on the Twitter at The Big Rap. Such a wonderful project. Thank you to the guys for all they do to help Christmas people find some joy in Christmas. How lovely that some families who have benefited before are able to support others at another time too. Love this. And that's Tracy Ferguson. She's the owner of Plucky's World, and you can find her on pluckysworld.com, and that's Plucky with a Y.
Cool. Casey Canine, who is a local greyhound of some renown, has tweeted, I'm on my pit stop on my constitutional with Doris and the Egypt. That'll be Terry.
Yeah.
And we're at Amy's Pantry in Tenterton, keeping an eye on Scott and the boys from CS Mitchell, who are putting up the Christmas trees.
What is Amy's? Is that a cafe?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice cakes?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah.
Brilliant. And Chips and Dinks, they're on a roll, along with Justin Dean, that we've just mentioned. Talking about what character they would be, there's a whole thread of this, what Muppet character they'd be. And Justin says that he would be, I don't know who that is, Animal. He'd be Animal. Mm-hmm. And Chips and Dinks, Bev, I think that is, tweeting, says she'd be Rolf, the dog, playing the piano. And they're now asking, what would Vanilla Web identify in the Muppets?
Oh, Kermit.
You'd be Kermit, would you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
And you'd be Miss Piggy.
Hey, Kermit!
Yeah.
Actually, I've said that if you look at the thread, I would be those old guys that sit on the balcony and heckle.
Stadler and Wardle.
Yeah, because me and the new husband, we watch telly and we just say, this is rubbish, this is bloody awful. Yeah, yeah. Why are we even watching this? Put the music on. So we often say we're like them. But I could do Piggy, yeah. Miss Piggy would be fine.
Ha ha, all right. I don't know if you read this one from Tracy. Tracy Ferguson. She said, I'm tuned in live to the Business Bunker. Hi, everyone. Enjoying the opening banter. No, don't encourage her. She said, Rochester has a very beautiful high street too, Jules.
Well, we love our high streets, don't we? We do, and we need to support
them.
They've
got a bit of a castle there as well.
Yeah, Rochester's lovely. I always see it coming back from London on the train. It comes in. Now, we've had Tracy's Tasey 64's Mixed Media Creative, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Was it wonderful?
No, it's the 25th. It's happening this week.
Oh, is it this Saturday?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's 10 to 4. It's at Island Works at the Dockyard Church, which is on the sun-kissed Isle of Sheppey.
It certainly is.
Your price is £30. That's an introductory offer. And I've seen some of the pictures she's put on Twitter of what they'll be making, and it just looks absolutely lovely.
Hmm.
Clever woman she is.
Shall I have a little bit of a rant?
Well, what's new?
Well, you know, I've worked in technology over 50 years, and as each year goes past, I hate technology more and more and more.
Yeah.
And I think it's a massive drain. I own the Island Works, which is a refurbished church in Sheerness. It's a co-working space, coffee shop, meeting space, and event space. And it is the most gorgeous building. It is drop-dead gorgeous. It is absolutely fabulous, even though I say so myself. On Saturday, we suddenly had no water and heating.
Oof.
Right? So everybody's running around going, why haven't we got no water and heating? And we found that there's a building management system, right? And the relays have burnt out on the business, on the building management system.
What's the relay?
Electrical circuit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you go, why on earth do we need a building management system to have taps that work? And toilets that flush. Why? Why do we need that? We don't. You need a stopcock, mate.
Yeah.
A stopcock. An analogue stopcock that's on or off. I don't need a computer to control my water. I really don't. But we're now Tuesday afternoon and we still have no heating in the building.
You see, technology has got, it's the same with cars, isn't it, Blair? Yeah. I'm looking at Blair because he's the car man.
He's
what? Go on.
I'll tell you,
what are you eating?
An apple.
Oh, that's all right. You're allowed apple. Amanda, it's an apple. It's not a mince pie. But there's too much on cars now to go wrong. Just everything can go wrong. Computers. Say that again.
Massively overcomplicated.
Yeah. 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 Well, the BMW I had to
I did tell her how to do AdBlue. Yeah. By peeing in the tank and putting in some distilled water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the BMW, Paul got one and it took you, a couple of weeks to even be able to drive it, didn't it? Because the dashboard.
He kept telling me off. He'd go, don't touch that. And he'd go, what? And some German bird in the car going, don't touch that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got this BMW for 3 weeks and it took me, I sat in it twice and looked at the dashboard and thought, nah, I'll just go in the
and rang me.
I'll go in the dog car.
So can you tell me how to put this in gear?
Yeah, too complicated. And even houses, like, you know, the remote control on the telly, like, we've got three at the moment. Just bonkers.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. Do not even get me started on that.
I have a feeling we're going to get you started.
I want to talk to the two ladies, but in 2018, I was one of the first people to be transferred onto the new digital voice system from BT,
oh, yeah,
where your phone is plugged into your router. It has been nothing but trouble. Anyway, week before last, I look up, my mum's 95, she's got dementia, I'm a carer for some of the time. And I went over to see her, and her full-time carer was there, and she said, we've been trying to ring you for 2 days. Really? My phone hasn't rung. She said, no, it's not ringing. When we ring it, nothing happens. So I reported it to BT, and it took them 5 days to fix it. And then they called me on my mobile, and said, oh, we fixed it. What we had to do was completely reconfigure your router. I went, okay, and is it working now? Yeah. So my phone was working, but nothing else. When I got home, because they reconfigured the router, my Skybox didn't work, my SkyQ box didn't work, my computer didn't work, my tablet didn't work, my daughter's phone didn't work, nothing worked. It took myself and Mikey, my technical man from the studio, it took us 2 hours to get the Skybox back linked in to the broadband. It's just a nightmare. And stupid stuff. Right, I got a TV in the kitchen.
You will be interviewed soon.
Yeah, in a minute. In a minute, yeah. I've got a TV in the kitchen, and we've got a Sky Q box, which is an extension box, yeah? Yeah. We're trying to get that attached to the internet router and to Sky. So it says you must have your main Sky box on and you must have your main TV on. Yep, got all that. We're pressing the controller and nothing's happening. And Mike's going, I don't understand this. So we Googled it, and it says if you're having to reconfigure it, the controller won't work. The controller won't work until you configure the controller, and the only way you can configure the controller is putting in a cheat code, and then it will give you enough of a control over it to link the controller, and then the controller will come online. You're joking. Who invented this? Some caveman. It was ridiculous.
But it's
in my day, love, it was a DER television that you rented, yeah?
Yeah.
It had three buttons on. BBC One, yeah. ITV, and BBC Two, and that was it, mate.
And when it stopped, there was that nice fizzing. There was a little girl with a, what was it she holding? Some dolly thing.
Dolly rag doll
and
thing.
And then it went, shh, and you might have the national anthem.
I was going to say, and there was a bit of national anthem. You had to stand up before you went to bed.
Stand up, exactly.
Yeah.
Technology. I mean, you need Mikey, don't you?
Yeah.
Go on. Are we going to interview?
Yeah, let's do something sensible. Yeah.
I'm going to film them.
Okay. Sure. It's an absolute pleasure. Look, it is an absolute pleasure, thank goodness, to have two more sensible people on the show. It's a pleasure to welcome back, and we'll explain why in a minute.
Absolutely.
Helena and the lovely Christine. From Growth Gem Marketing. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Now, Helena has been on many, many years ago when she was a baby.
I have been on, yeah.
Apparently she fed us.
She did. She bought granola.
Yeah.
And if I remember rightly, it was really nice.
Yeah.
Because I had two bowls of it.
It was really nice. I was very proud of it.
Yeah.
And it was, one of those business stories, you know. Yeah. I call it my true story.
Right.
I started making it in my kitchen. I was really proud of it. We had it on the show. We did really well, you know. We got into Sainsbury's and Holland and Barrett and Boots and Waitrose and Ocado. And, you know, everybody thinks you've made it. But if you can't make money, you've not made it.
No.
And sadly, that is the moral of the story, especially with COVID and then with Ukraine and all the prices going through the roof. And sadly, it had to come to an end. But
What was the one thing that you think would have made a difference?
Money.
Money, yeah, money. And, you know, when we went into Sainsbury's, we came very close to getting investment. But unfortunately, we were a tiny bit... If I'd been 20 years younger and a man, probably I would have got investment. But being an older woman and I was in business with my husband, that didn't tick two boxes that make you investable.
Yeah.
Being a married couple and being an older female makes you pretty much uninvestable, even if you've got the best idea in the world. So quite annoying.
It's a fascinating thing about businesses that a lot of people never realise is also it doesn't matter how big or successful the businesses are, you will not survive. Very few businesses survive.
Yep.
And certainly those that do don't survive in the state that they started. Here's a fact. Of the 100 FTSE 1 businesses in the year I was born, which is 1955, of the 100 businesses, so the 100 biggest businesses in the UK, only two exist today.
God, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So even if you're a big business, you do not, it just doesn't happen. There is no longevity in business, really. Okay, you come across business, you know, like banks that were established in 1752 or whatever, but they're not the same organisation. They really aren't. And, you know, they're normally owned by somebody else as well. There are small businesses and mostly partnerships and lawyer firms and things like that that were established as family businesses. But in general, businesses don't survive.
And, you know, that's a tough thing when you're the business owner, you
exactly,
know.
Exactly, yeah.
But you got to, you know, I'm really positive about it because it was a fantastic experience. It taught me things, it taught my kids things, it gave them a real can-do attitude. They think they can do anything. And so they should.
And they can do anything.
And they can, absolutely.
It just won't last.
Well, you know what? You learn such a lot. And sometimes it might, you know, and you're there for the experience and you're there for the journey. And what it's taught me is a million things that hopefully I can then use to help other people. And
absolutely.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah, yeah. But we enjoyed, or I enjoyed it. She doesn't remember. I enjoyed eating the granola. And I'm sure you've got a picture of it somewhere as well.
Oh, probably. I've got pictures of you in a pink tutu.
Yes, she has. But
I've got one.
Only uses that for blackmail purposes. Anyway.
Did your marriage survive that?
Well, do you know what? That was one of the other. I was doing a presentation at one of the a meeting last week with a growing Kent in Medway, and that was one of the questions I got asked then. And yes, it does. It did. Of course, it does. I've been with my husband for nearly 30 years, and you.
Congratulations.
But you have. Of course, it's hard, right? It's really hard.
Working together,
and especially when it's not going great, is really hard. But you've got to make choices. You know what's more important: my marriage, my family, my business. Well, there isn't a choice, you know. My marriage, my family are always first, you know.
I was going to be really rude then, and I pulled back from that, and I didn't know. Yeah, I did like the granola. I've never met your husband.
I can still make it.
Sorry. Cool. Okay, so let's fast forward now to where you are now. Because people have got short memories, and we've had to remind them about that. But first of all, Christine and Helena, tell us about you. And then we'll move on to what you're doing now with Growth Gen Marketing.
So if I do a little bit before and after truth.
Yeah.
So I had my granola, but before the granola, I worked in marketing right from the... I did a marketing degree, got the job of my dreams working for Nestle Roundtree on chocolate. I mean, who wouldn't love working on sweets?
Was that difficult to sell chocolate?
God, I mean, it was brilliant. I loved it, really, really loved it. And I worked in brands... working in marketing teams and working as a consultant for many years before Growth Gen. No, before True. Mm. And now I've gone back to doing my own thing. And I, after I sort of finished my True journey, I was looking for another option. Well, how could I get something which was flexible and use my skills? Mm. And I discovered a place called the Marketing Centre. And the Marketing Centre employs 100 marketing directors across the UK. It's a great organisation, and they supply part-time marketing directors for businesses, generally kind of 5 million plus, 5 million to 10, 15, even bigger than that. And we work on a kind of fractional basis, one day a week for these businesses. And I do actually currently work for a number of businesses in Kent on that basis.
Okay.
And that's where I met Christine.
Let's hear from Christine about her journey. Have you ever made granola?
I have made granola, but in my kitchen, just for me.
Okay, cool.
And it's good.
Cool.
So we
need to check these things, that's all.
You do, you're invited. So my background is probably quite similar to Helena, actually. I've always been in marketing. For 20 odd years, it pains me to say now, always in corporate, different businesses to yours. So I started in Kent, Eurotono and P&O Ferries. So I've done my years cross channel very well, and then I moved around.
I hope you got out of P&O Ferries before recent shenanigans.
Way before.
Yeah, because that would have been a bit of a push for a marketing person for a little while, wouldn't it? There.
I left in 2006.
Okay,
and,
good.
And it
good,
wasn't great.
Good move.
And then I moved to other type of marketing and other companies, by 4BT and education systems, and I even worked for the MOD for a while.
So, okay.
So very much B2B, where I think NNR is more B2C in terms of our experience. But I've left the corporate world seven years ago now, it's quite difficult to be a working mother. So I left out the corporate world because I just couldn't do the hours that were expected, and set up on my own. And again, I met the Marketing Centre, and it's been working absolutely fantastic for me, actually allowing me to work at the level that I wanted to work at, but actually also managing that motherhood that parenting that is so important. So we met, and the work that we do at the Marketing Centre is brilliant. But there are a number of businesses for which this business model just doesn't work, or is not quite relevant, because they're not there yet. So we want to offer something else, but still our experience as big corporates and senior marketing directors to help them make the marketing work.
Okay.
And it's, I think it's a bit of a passion project for both of us
for
as
us,
well.
Yeah, absolutely is. Absolutely is.
Because there's a really, probably the most annoying thing about being a marketing person for more than 30 years is that no one knows what you do. Or they make assumptions about what you do. Yeah. You're the colouring in department, you're the creative department, and actually that's not what we are.
And the sales department.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, most people just think that marketing is just a fancy name for sales.
And that's how they judge you, is how much sales have you done, rather than how much value have you generated for the business.
Yeah.
And that's what we're so passionate about, and what we're here to really sort of talk about is that marketing isn't about that. Marketing really is about the engine of the business and making sure the business really understands what it's there to do, who it's there to do it for, and how it can grow.
Yeah.
And so it's taking that step back to really think about the levers that will help your business be successful.
Yeah.
And having done that myself, you know, I feel acutely aware of some of those stresses that a business owner runs through, and that's how we feel that we can work together to add value to smaller businesses that could never afford a part-time marketing director, but maybe we can give them a bit of support on a different basis.
And sometimes it's not even about that. It's about marketing is about what you needed to be to make the business grow. So it needs to be very much aligned to what the objectives are in the business.
Yeah.
So sometimes marketing is like, it's everything really. It's everything everywhere. So it's SEO, it's social media, it's some ads, it's leafleting or whatever you're doing. But it's not necessarily what needs to be done for the stage of your business that you're at. So it's connecting the dots.
I'm going to say this. You're not going to say this. I'm going to say this. For many years, I worked as an angel investor. In startup businesses. And one of the things that would drive me perennially insane with new startups or early stage businesses or even scale up businesses is you'd say, what's your target market? And they go, anyone.
Oh, God, absolutely.
I understand the sentiment that you don't care who gives you money as long as they give you money, but that is not how you build a business. Yeah. Who is your product? Who is your service? Who is it targeted at? Who's your main business? Who's your 20% that's going to generate your 80% of your income? Well, no, anyone. And it's because people don't want to think about it. And there is this sentiment that says, I don't really care who buys my product as long as somebody buys it. And I get that. But that's not how you build a business. I mean,
it's definitely not. Actually, going through the discipline of saying those, asking those difficult questions should enable. It's hard, right? We're not easy for business owners. Yeah. We're not the easy option. But if you actually really want to not waste your money and make sure you're doing the right thing to grow, you need to think about these things.
Yeah.
It's not going away, you know. So, I think that definitely those difficult questions are the ones to ask.
Absolutely. And I kind of want to explore with you the starting point when you talk us through when you take on a new client. What are the kind of things that you would look at? What are the kind of things that would you sit down and do in the first couple of weeks that you start working with a new client?
So is the audit. You start with knowing where you're at. So where are you now? Where do you want to be? What's working? What's not working? What's happening in the market? Yeah. What's happening in your competitors? Are they growing faster than you? You know, what are you going to do about that? That kind of stuff. So it's always that step back first.
Yeah.
And then it's the targeting, really. So, you know, where are the gaps? Well, before that, actually, so part of that audit is where are the gaps in your marketing?
Yeah.
So, are there any, for example, are people aware of you? So if they're not aware of you, then that maybe the first thing to do is make them, you know, make them know that you exist. What's your acquisition looking like? You know, are you recruiting enough customers quickly enough? What's your retention looking like? That kind of stuff. So it's looking at that first, and from there you can identify where the gaps are.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that drives some of the targeting element.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, if you haven't got enough new customers, then you need to go and find new ones, but if you've got plenty of customers, maybe it's all about growing them. So that kind of helps you segment your market and know where to deploy the marketing activity.
Right. Okay.
And I'm really passionate about the numbers.
Yeah.
Mm. Having gone through a business failure, the numbers are so important, right?
You know, people walk away from this, and none of us go into business to do VAT returns or look at budgets. Well, unless you're an accountant,
Work on our website.
We don't go into business to do that. But one of the things, and I hate that, I hated that more than anything. When I launched my first business 30 years ago, I was never going to do that. But I very quickly found out that if you don't, you don't have a business.
Yep.
The numbers are so important, you know, and so many people, you know, run into a brick wall with this because they get passionate about what they're doing, but they don't look at whether it's viable or not.
I can't tell you, even the bigger businesses that I talk to don't know their profitability. Yeah. And you're like, what do you mean you don't know? Oh, I can tell you what a turnover is.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Your turnover doesn't pay your bills.
Yeah.
You know, how can you not know your profit levels? And it's, you know, and it is a bit of bitter experience because our profit levels weren't what they thought they were, what we thought they were, because we didn't account for wastage. But please, you know, I can help because I can see a bigger picture that other businesses might not necessarily see.
You know, it's a funny thing. I was telling my accountant actually this the other day. Before I worked for myself, when I had a proper job and I worked in corporate, I worked for a bank. Okay. And I was a very senior manager in a bank, and I ran technology. And my bosses came to me and they said, right, we need to cut 20% off the budget next year. I went, yeah, fair enough. What don't you want to do? And they looked at me and they went, well, we want to do everything, obviously. I went, no, no, no. You can either do 80%, you know, or not, you know. But if you want to cut 20%, no, just cut 20%. I said, I'll tell you what, let's do zero-based budgeting. And they all went, what? And I went, zero-based budgeting, instead of every year just adding inflation to your budget, start from scratch, i.e. you've got no money and no projects. What are we going to do? How much are you going to spend? And they went, we won't get anything done. Really? Really? Yeah. You know, well, that tells you something, doesn't it? You're absolutely right. The numbers are crucial.
Numbers are crucial and choices are crucial. Yeah.
I was going to say choices and therefore focus.
Yeah.
Because if you'd rather, and I always say that to anybody, keep it really simple. Choose two or three things that you're going to do very, very well and execute fantastically, you know, brilliantly, and get the benefit of that rather than be everywhere doing everything.
Yeah.
I mean, we see so many small businesses because I find it quite entertaining when you see them doing leaflets or doing radio advertising or doing, I don't know, on Google or doing Facebook advertising. And I'm like, seriously, do you know how much this costs?
Yeah.
And is that really driving your business? Because I don't believe it is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, I've talked to them. I go to some of these Chamber of Commerce events and chat to people, and it's really interesting. And they go, oh, yeah, but what if I don't? Well, what if you don't?
Yeah, you see, there's a whole thing here, isn't there? whether you're doing PPC or paid for marketing, or whether you're just doing social media, is a lot of people think you have to do it.
Have to do something.
So they do it and they spend a huge amount of time and quite often a huge amount of money doing it without actually knowing why they're doing it, apart from the fact that everyone else does it.
Or what their returns are.
Yeah,
from it.
Who they're doing it to, what it is they're selling.
Yeah.
And how much they just have no. Yeah. And that's just, we want to stop that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm also a firm believer that different consultancies and different agencies help you for different things. And there's some amazing agencies in Kent that will help you with your website, help you with your PR, help you with your design. We're not any of them. We won't help you with any of that. We'll help you get all that right. We'll help you brief those agencies with the right brief so that you get the right results.
Yeah.
But we're a stage before that to make sure you're not wasting your money.
How your market is working, what your customer needs, and then what channels to be on. Make those hard choices that will deliver for the business.
Yeah. It's interesting what you were saying there, Helena, as well. Because one of the things I come across with smaller businesses is they lack the expertise, obviously, to make the decisions, to make the right decisions to do things. Simple. I own a web design company, for instance, and we get lots of people to come to us and go, well, you need a website. And you go, what do you want? And they go, I don't know. I just want a nice, funky website. And you go, okay, well, give us some brief. Well, how much is it going to cost? £55,000. What? £500. You know, if you want one page, I can do it for £500. If you want an all singing, all dancing website, it will going to cost you £50,000. You know, I need to know what you want, and yes, we'll help you. We'll help you with design. We'll help you with expertise and all the rest of it. But you have to understand what it is you want at the end of the day. So then people start giving you a whole list. Oh, I want it to do this, and I want it to go boo, and I want it to run up a flag. And you go, yep, all of that can be done and this is the cost. And they go, I've only got a budget of £1,000. So you've got a two-page website. Let's start with that then.
Yeah. And I think we recognise that as well. Yeah. And I really, I've obviously in my entrepreneurial journey, I met a lot of people who didn't have 25 years marketing experience.
Yeah.
You know, and the number of times I told my husband, you know, you can't afford me.
Yeah.
And that was the truth. Yeah. But I sometimes had ambitions that were bigger than our scale. But one of the important things that we recognise is that a lot of these small businesses don't have the marketing expertise.
Yeah.
And actually they need the hands holding. And that's another part of our business is that, yeah, we'll come up with a plan, but we're not going to like go, and here you go. Good luck.
Yeah.
We'll also see you through, you know, so there's different options for how we can support, mentor, do it with you, give you guidance, give you manpower. And then more importantly, another part of something that we're quite passionate about is creating a community of solo marketeers or small marketing teams within Kent. So we've set up a Growth Gen Marketing Kent community group on LinkedIn.
All right.
And really we want to... We have a great thing within the marketing centre and within our colleagues. So there's 100 of us. And one of the benefits when you use the marketing centre is that you don't employ one, you employ 100.
Yeah.
And we have a WhatsApp group. And if you have a question, you just write on there, you know, anybody use this CRM package? And someone will go, no, that's rubbish. Use this one.
Yeah.
We want to try and emulate that for smaller, on a smaller scale within, if we can, within Kent, because you need that support.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking about all this amazing food producers we have in Kent
who
are all totally passionate about their product, but often, you know, I'll say to them, you know, what about this? And that they haven't got the facilities or... So something like that would be brilliant for a lot of these
And also, to be fair, marketing, or in the execution side of marketing, is very complex. You know, how do you choose whether you're going to do SEO, pay-per-click, or social media, and which one, and the platforms, and the consultants, and the freelancers, you know, there's so much choice and so much stuff to know. Mm. Having
you can't expect to know
you can
it all.
Share
no, you can't. You're busy making the cheese or the product.
But talking about food people, I am. Yeah. I did a presentation at Growing Kent in Medway last week. They had a food accelerator program, and I told them the true story, and it was actually quite emotional. It was the first time I've actually done it, and one woman at the front row was crying her eyes out. She absolutely
she
cried
felt your
whole
pain.
Week. Well, I think. She was on that journey, you know, and you know, you kind of go, and she was overwhelmed by it. She was sitting there, and I was just like, she gave me a big hug. It was very sweet.
David.
No, it's just a point I was going to make is that sitting here listening very intently and very interesting is that it's the best description of what marketing is. We had big marketing departments. Everyone was what's in marketing? And I used to walk in. I remember walking into the marketing department. And I was CEO of a big company in Poland at the time. And I went up to them all. I said, what do you actually do? He said, I'm in marketing. Yeah, but what do you do? Well, I'm doing this promo for so-and-so. Okay, so how's that helping our numbers? Are you involved in set-top box selling? No, I'm not involved in that. But your description is exactly what I was looking for. Someone has that complete bottom to top. And you can take what you want, and I'll be there to see the journey.
Yeah.
In the end, we stripped our marketing department, which is 10 or 15, down to 4. And each of those 4 were specialists in different parts of marketing, but they worked tightly together. It's like when I was in Sweden, I used to walk into an editing suite, and there'd be an editor sitting there, there'd be a director sitting there, and they wouldn't talk. And the director would say, I want to cut there, do this. And he did it. Mm. I said, well, hang on a minute. Haven't you got any ideas to the other time? Yes, I have. Well, why don't you tell the director? Well, he's never asked me. I said, no, that's not the point. Anyway, that's what it's about. And that is the best description I've
ever. Well, that's a very nice thing to say. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I mean, we get this with radio, yeah. People will come along and I go, do you want to put an advert on our little radio station, on this radio show? And they go, well, it can't have as many listeners as the BBC or, you know. I go, yeah, but the BBC's listeners aren't in your demographic. Yeah, because the 250,000 people, I know BBC don't carry advertising, but, you know, as a thing, you know, the 250,000 listeners of the BBC are from aged 14 to 104, and they're all over the place. This show has nothing like that amount of listeners, but every single one of them is a business owner.
And not only that, they're very engaged with your show.
Yeah.
So they actually it's not just like background music. They're actually interested in what you've got to say and believe what you've got to say.
Yeah.
So actually, a buck spent here probably is a lot more efficient than a buck spent somewhere else.
Exactly, yeah. And it's not just for this radio show. It's about thinking those things through all the time. You know, as David explained in TV, a lot of people go, I've advertised on the TV with Jobs in Kent. We advertised on Sky for a long time, cost a blooming fortune. But you have to think about who it is you're targeting. And, you know, again, nowadays with a lot of TV advertising, they can, with digital TV, they can actually drill down and feed ads to different parts of the demographic. But absolutely.
I think a lot of it's about headspace as well. It's about not just talking to people who want to hear your message. It's about talking to them at the time when they have the capacity to hear what you've got in their own. There's lots of little nuances that can allow you to be more effective.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's about the consistency of that message as well, and how often you say it. Because you've got to keep doing it, don't you? Otherwise, people just, you blink and you miss it.
I mean, I kind of want to dwell on those for the last few minutes talking to you. Blimey, it's out of time already. We've almost finished. There's a lot of aspects to marketing as well, as we've kind of been discussing. Again, and partly my fault, we come down to talking about advertising, but that's only a small part of the overall marketing mix.
Yep. So
it's an important part, and it's an expensive part sometimes, unless you advertise with us when it's not expensive at all.
Quick plug.
Yeah, it's really cheap. I'll make myself laugh then. But it's not just about advertising, is it? There's a whole range of brand building that needs to happen as well. Can we kind of think about that for a moment?
I mean, it's really important, you know, and you've got to get that foundation of what is your product and what do you want people to feel when they experience your product.
Yeah.
And particularly in the service sector, you know, this whole customer experience bit is so important.
Yeah.
And it's a bit trendy now from a marketing perspective to go on the customer journey and look at the experience at different points. But actually, it's really important. You know, one of my other clients is a leisure business.
Right.
They run Kingsmead in Canterbury, and quite a few other leisure centres.
That's just having a refurb, isn't it, Kingsmead?
It is. £8 million. It's going to be amazing.
Wow.
But going through the customer journey with them, because they're like, well, I've gone through the customer journey, and it's just kind of like, I can't get through on the phone. I mean, that's marketing 101.
That sounds like
someone's
my GP.
I lecture at the Christchurch University to the MBA class, and I do the entrepreneurial sectors. And I was there 2 weeks ago, and I was talking about this, and somebody said to me, if you were thinking about starting a business, where would you target stuff? And I went, here's the thing. I'm telling you that any business that has no humans in it in the next 10 years is going to fail. Yeah, because everybody's pushing for ChatGDP, AI, and all the other digital stuff, but nobody answers the sodding phones ever. And it's driving people potty. You know, ordinary people want to speak to a human.
Yep.
And no amount of cleverness in your digital strategy will ever overcome that. So anybody that wants a retro business, I'm telling you, scrap the technology and go for people.
Yeah. I think that's quite sensible. Really sensible.
Yeah. They won't do it, of course, because it's much easier to tie the technology together. But
Until the technology goes wrong, and then it...
Yeah, but then they don't care because they never hear.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever answers the phone, so they never know it's gone wrong.
It's quite an important thing, isn't it, as a business owner, to actually phone your own company pretending to be someone else, or go on your own website and make sure it's user friendly and stuff.
And that's one of the things that's part of our auditing process that we would do, is do a bit of mystery shopping, you know,
customer interviews, that kind of stuff.
Be that kind of external.
You need to contact Hotpoint, by the sounds of it.
I love IVR boxes. I don't. Interactive voice response boxes. The thing that answers the telephone and says push buttons.
I get really angry at them.
Many years ago, I was hired by a leading manufacturer of IVR boxes to do a consultancy assignment looking at why their customer service was so poor. And my report started off, well, first, you use your own products and you don't know how to use them properly. And the MD went mad. What do you mean? we're specialists in this. I said, have you ever run your own thing? Oh, I don't need to. I know, but your customers do. I said, do it now. I said, get a phone now and ring your IVR box. We're about 3 seconds into it. He's going, I'm just stupid machine. That's not what I'm ringing for. I went, there you go. Yeah, you've never listened to that, and you don't know what you've been putting your customers through. You know, press button 7. If you, why do you think everybody presses button 4 for the
to
agent?
Try, yeah.
Yeah. Let me speak to a human.
But that's what I always say. My GP centre won't let you bypass the buttons, so you know what number you need for the secretary or for an appointment, 1 or 5. You cannot. It says you must listen to all, and there's like 3 surgeries. Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely drives me. And I now want to strangle the woman who does the voiceovers on it, because I know who she is and I want to go and strangle her. It's that bad.
My mum's got an ulcer on her leg. Sorry, Mum, we shouldn't discuss your medical problems here, but she's got an ulcer on her leg. I ring the GP.
Cellulitis.
I ring the GP, make an appointment to make a phone call, yeah, and all that nonsense that you normally do. I eventually speak to someone and I say, look, my mum's got this, and I happen to know that ulcers are a thing that they have to respond to quickly because it could indicate something much worse. So they said, we'll have the GP contact you straight away. Don't worry about it. You can't come in. No, there's no appointments, but I get a text. Hi, it's your GP here, or your mum's GP. Could you take a photograph of the ulcer and text it back to me? Right? So I take a photograph. I try to text it back.
Bear in mind you don't live near your mum.
It doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point was, I tried to text it back, and it's a no-reply text message.
Well, they haven't thought that through, have they? No. Honestly.
I ended up having to go up there. There's a picture of my mum's ulcer, and I go, you should have texted it to us. I said, I can't. It's a no-reply text message. Anyway.
We've had a tweet to you two ladies. It's Wayne Cunnington. He's a regular on the Business Bunker. And he says, such a lovely show today, guys, with your guests, also Blair and David, and alluding to your granola business. So such, he likes granola, I think. such a shame that the granola business had to fold now that things have improved in the markets. Is it viable to restart it?
Oh, do you know what? I also got asked this before as well. When you start up a food business, it's really hard
all
work,
consuming.
Right?
Yeah.
You've got to go to all these shows. You've got to do all the consumer tasting. That's how you make a success. That's how you get your Sainsbury's listing. Do I want to do that again?
No,
I don't. So I'm very happy to support other people doing that, but I don't want to do it myself.
There you are, Wayne. Sorry, no granola for you.
Sorry.
In the post.
blimey. Oh, I'll give
up. Is that your mother?
No. I just looked at my Twitter feed. There's about 50 tweets that I haven't read, so we'll ignore those because we haven't got time to do them.
But do keep tweeting for next week.
And we haven't read any of the press releases. Anyway, I'd much rather talk to you too because it's much more interesting. So when did you... I want to talk a little bit now about the journey, and you've given us background into both you and in your corporate world and in your... Marketing centre group. I don't know what you call those kind of things. There's two or three. There's one for lawyers as well.
Yeah, there is. And so we're actually all part of the same group.
Is this marketingcentre.com?
That's marketingcentre.com.
At what stage in that did you decide to start this business that you've got here?
Well, I think that we both recognise that the marketing centre does a job for businesses of a certain size and ambition.
Yeah.
But actually, there's so many small businesses in Kent who can't access that.
144,000.
Well, my goodness, that's even bigger than I thought. Yeah. And you know what? So we work generally about 3 days a week for the marketing centre, and we've got a couple of days when we don't. And you kind of think, so what am I going to do with those extra days? So I actually do work a few days for Canterbury and Christchurch University as well, I'm on their public health team because that's a passion point for me.
Okay.
So what else do we do? And actually helping smaller businesses and helping marketing people in Kent realise or help them to be better at their jobs is something we were both really passionate about.
It is. When I first started in marketing, I was very lucky. I had a fantastic manager who actually taught me everything I know. Still to this day, I use some of the stuff that I learn back then. And I think, you know, I'm at that stage where I'm ready to do the same and pass on what I know to other people and help them build their career. There's, you know, marketing is there's technical skills to it, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff, the leadership skills in terms of, you know, selling an idea to a boss, you know, or managing teams, managing colleagues, you know, the sales team across or the customer service teams, depending on, you know, where you are. You might have loads of other people, briefing agencies, recruitment. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that is not running a campaign that you also need to know, and you need to be, you know, helped along the way on that. So,
it's interesting, isn't it? I have never worked in marketing, but I was attracted to marketing when I read a marketing book. When I worked, as I said earlier, I worked for a bank. I was executive vice president of technology and trading systems. So totally internal, had nothing to do with customers per se. You know, it was all techie stuff. And for some reason, I don't know why, I read a marketing book one day and I got absolutely fascinated by this process. And I tried to start an internal marketing department that said, I want to tell my customers, i.e. the other members of the bank, what we do, why we do it, and why what they keep asking us is a bunch of old nonsense. And because I found the process of marketing an incredibly good exercise for thinking through what it is you're trying to do. And for me, that was the key thing. I wasn't trying to establish a brand image for my technical support. I had no choice. That to use us. What I wanted everybody to understand is what we did, why we did it, and how we did it, because that's important, because people get the wrong end of the stick with things.
So focus.
Well, creating behavior change is what marketing really is about. So you need to understand what that is and how you make that happen.
Ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. We've only got 4 minutes left of the show, so we kind of run out of time. But it was really worth hearing it from you. Thank you so much. We wish you continued success. If people want to find out more about what you guys do...
Growthgenmarketing.com is our website. And we'd also invite anybody who is listening, if they want to have a little chat, you know, we're always at the end of the phone, you know, might not be straight away, but drop us an email. Email's probably the best way of getting in touch with us, and we'd be more than happy to have a chat.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Pleasure to talk to you, Helena and Christine of Growth Marketing. Growth Gen Marketing. I beg your pardon. The link to the website is on the Kent Business Radio website.
Thank
and that will
so
stay
much.
There. We've only got a couple of minutes left of the show, and we've got tons of stuff that I haven't done. If you've sent me a tweet, I'm sorry, it's not going to get read because there's too many and I can't catch up with them all. The Kent and Medway Business Summit taking place at the University of Kent, at the Kent Business School on the 12th of January 2024, bringing together business, academia and strategic partners. You can be part of the conversation. You can now book your tickets. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, there's a link to there. So that's the Kent and Medway Business Summit taking place on the 12th of January.
And Tracy Ferguson has tweeted to say, what passion and energy, and a very honest story about the importance of being able to make a profit in business, whatever size it is. And you can follow
the importance of granola.
The importance of granola. You can follow Tracy at Tazy64.
Fantastic. The Marsh Network, breakfast meeting of the Marsh Network, where you can meet up with people, network, make new contacts, give and receive support, develop and grow your business. Come along and tell us about your business. Enjoy an excellent full English breakfast. Other options are available. And that's taking place at the Ship in Dymchurch on Thursday, November the 30th at 7:45. And as always with these things, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, Canada, there's a link there.
Did you just mention Marsh Network?
Yeah, but that's a different Marsh Network.
Yeah, there's lots. There's another one in East Sussex and Kent, which is 10:30 a.m. on December the 5th. So that's coming up. Is that next week or the week after?
Week after.
You can book by going to marshnetwork.co.uk. And the speaker is going to be Richard Smith.
Fantastic. My great friends, Ella Brocklebank and Cheryl Crossbrook, who are the women
up
in
construction.
Yeah, they're the women in construction ladies, and they run a charity called Donations with a Difference, and they have organised the Kent Construction Charity Ball, which takes place this Friday, the 24th of November, at the Ashford International Hotel. And because it's Ella and Cheryl, it's from 7 o'clock until 2 a.m. Of course it is, you party animals, you. There's a a drinks reception, three-course meal, raffle and auction, DJ and dance floor. It's going to be a fabulous night. All the proceeds go to Donations with a Difference, the Kent Construction Charity Ball. If you want to book a ticket, email trustees at DWAD, Donations with a Difference, DWAD.org, trustees at DWAD.org.
And Martin Reeves at Collector's Buddy on the Twitter says another great business bunker show using the hashtag. You can find him on collectorsbuddy.org.uk.
How about this? There's networking.
Oh, yeah.
Networking at the Mount Chartwell. Yeah. Enjoy a lovely walk and talk. It's networking by going for a walk.
Nice.
Clever idea, isn't it?
Nice.
The walk will take around 1 hour with lunch provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. Meet outside the cafe at Chartwell. That's the National Trust, Churchill's old home at Chartwell in Westerham. Taking place, this Friday, the 24th of November at 10:30. KentBusinessRadio.co.uk/calendar for full details and booking link.
It's a great way to network, isn't it?
Mm. Sounds lovely.
Yeah. Take your umbrella.
What you got?
Well, there's a Kenwood coffee morning. Mm-hmm. It is on the last Thursday of each month. Cakes and savouries are available. Mm-hmm. And the next one is Thursday, the 30th of November. It's 10:30 to 3 p.m. You can go to Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road, Yalding, Kent, M for Mother, E18, 6A, H for Harry. And they say there's no need to book. You can just turn up.
Mm. And it's certainly worth going to. It's a really lovely place. It's a Georgian country house, residential home for people with drink and drug addictions. And all the money goes towards supporting that very thing.
Yeah, good one. They sometimes have picnics and things, don't they, in the grounds as well?
Yeah, we've got a Christmas fair. I'm a trustee of the charity. We've got a Christmas fair coming up. I don't remember the date, but once I know the date, I'll tell you. But all the stands are sold now anyway.
Good.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, we've got not much left, but there's a developer that's got plans to regenerate a dockside industrial estate, which could create hundreds of jobs, and he's asking for people's thoughts on them. So this is the residents are being consulted on proposals for an employment and enterprise zone at the Chatham Docks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the developer has now unveiled its project for a business campus called Basin 3. It wants to transform the existing brownfield land into adaptable workspace with the opportunity to create hundreds of jobs and apprenticeships. We love an apprenticeship, don't we?
We do. West Kent Mind have the Big Give Christmas Challenge. Our Big Give Christmas Challenge runs from the 28th of November to the 5th of December. For this week only, your donations will be doubled. So every pound you give has twice the impact. That means if you give us 25 quid, we put 50 quid into the charity. It's a win-win situation. This year we need to help raise £4,500 so that we can deliver vital mental health support to those experiencing the heartbreaking impact of domestic abuse. The challenge goes live at 12 p.m. on Tuesday the 28th of November. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you can find all the details there.
And a big thanks to Justin Dean, who just popped up, says, great show. Follow Creative Motion on the Twitter.
Fantastic.
Or their website.
That's it. We've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to Blair and David of the Big Rap Tenterton. And we wish you much success with that. Continued success to the fabulous Helena and Christine.
Oh, thank you.
talking all about marketing and everything around marketing and how important it is for smaller businesses to think about that. So thank you to my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.